The Defenders live with our very own Miss Anna Edwards. Let's hear what Miss Anna has to say. Anna, take it away.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live. I am your host, Anna Edwards, and today is Monday. It's noon, and we are looking forward to another episode of The Defenders Live, which is brought to you as a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. We come to you at this time every Monday here on WRIR 97.3, and today is Memorial Day. And I have decided to bring a guest into the house today, and our guest is a familiar. It is my co-host and partner, Phil Woledo, who's editor of the Virginia Defender. And we have a lot to cover today. Last week, in the great scheme of the establishment of the Defenders Live program, the history of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, the Virginia Defender newspaper, the Sacred Ground Project, Richmond's struggle to reclaim its African burial ground last week was quite a week. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Anna.
I wanted to start with a very quick reading today because it really has been quite a week. So this is the introduction to a paper called Seizing Intellectual Power, The Dialogue at the New York African Burial Ground. And I'm just going to read you the introduction. Excavation of the New York African Burial Ground has brought scholars, academicians, researchers, cultural resource managers, politicians, religious leaders, community activists, school children, and the general public together in a complex and often contentious philosophical and ideological relationship. The dynamics of the relationship and the shape of the project have been determined to a large extent by the relentless determination of the African American descendant community to exercise control over the handling and disposition of the physical remains and artifacts of their ancestors. This relentless determination also ensured that the spiritual aspects of the site would not be lost in the face of scientific inquiry. Excavation of the African burial ground has global and universal implications which transcend urban archaeology, physical anthropology, or the concerns of any one group. Last week, the first chunks of asphalt came off the burial ground.
Yes, they did. One piece of which is sitting on our mantelpiece.
Yeah, two pieces, actually. I think, you know, and we've gotten a lot of wonderful response. A lot of people have emailed or called, have shown up at various things over the last week to say congratulations to us for our role in the struggle, but for the accomplishment, for arriving at this point at which we can be witness to the fact that the asphalt will come off of this site, all 3.3 acres of that which we have been concerned with. And it will be a memorial park. You can put your bare feet on some grass at some point this summer. And I have to say, I've had really mixed feelings throughout this whole week. It's been quite a journey over this last 6 to 10 years to 20 years for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, for close to 10 years, we've been fighting along with many other people in the community to reclaim this sacred ground, and the parking lot is closed, the asphalt is coming up, there is a city marker on the site which accurately depicts the historical significance of the site, the fact that it was the reclamation was won through struggle, slams Virginia Commonwealth University for its desecration, and that's what people are going to be reading for a long time, and as you say, it will become a park. So this has been quite a victory, and one that was fought against the most powerful political and financial institution in the city, which is VCU, which is far more than just a school. It's the largest employer in the city, Has been the economic powerhouse, which gives a lot of political clout, and the Board of Visitors is composed of some of the leading members of the financial, legal, and old money establishment in the city. So going up against them was quixotic. Quixotic, how do you say that word? You're an artist.
Depends. Well, I don't know that being an artist qualifies me to pronounce Don Quixote's name correctly, but quixotic.
Quixotic. Well, some people thought it was just tilting at windmills, and you can't beat VCU. Many people said that, including some people who should have known better. And but it's been a tremendous victory. It's been a victory that has itself been as controversial as the struggle. So as you know, remember that the date to unveil the marker at that site and 16 other sites was originally set for April 3rd, the day that Union troops ended slavery in Richmond, which used to be celebrated annually in the city until Jim Crow increased to the point where the black community stopped celebrating it. And that was going to be revived by the city, which was a tremendous event. And then that date, the unveiling, was postponed to April 10th, because Virginia Commonwealth University, the institution that was desecrating the burial ground, had made it into the Final Four basketball tournament, and the governor and the mayor were in Houston. So the Slave Trail Commission postponed the date. The defenders withdrew from the ceremony that we had been invited to participate in, instead called for the community to come out on April 3rd and celebrate Emancipation Day. Close to 100 people came to the burial ground that day. And then we urged the community to come to the official ceremony on April 10th, where we did not try to in any way to disrupt it. We were celebrating the placement of the markers, but close to 70 people participated in a protest holding signs demanding that VCU close the parking lot, which of course at that point was still open. VCU continued to operate its commercial parking lot on the site of the burial ground until Friday, May 20th, that would have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it was finally closed on the 21st. On the 23rd, Celine Calfani from the Virginia NAACP and former city councilman and former Slave Trail Commission chairperson Saad El-Amin held a press conference at the burial ground denouncing the fact that the official ceremony to mark the removal of the asphalt scheduled for the next day, May 24th, would include both VCU President Michael Rao and Slave Trail Commission Chair Dolores McQuinn. And they pointed out that VCU had done nothing virtually to assist the process of removing the parking lot. In fact, it fought it up to the last minute. And they could have added that it will benefit financially from the whole process, having been compensated for the $3 million they used to purchase the lot, the $300,000 spent to upgrade the lot, apparently is planning on keeping the tens of thousands of dollars, perhaps as much as $100,000, that they collected in parking fees that was supposed to compensate them for buying the lot. That's just money in their pocket. Not to mention the fact that the bill that Delegate McQuinn got passed to authorize the transfer of the land from VCU to the city stipulated that VCU would have to remove the parking lot itself, and three contractors, two of them African-American, with the encouragement of the NAACP, stepped forward to remove the lot voluntarily at no charge to the city or VCU. So that's another $123,000 that VCU gets to pocket because it didn't have to spend. The next day, the 24th, the city did hold its ceremony marking the removal of the lot. And all of the advocates who had played prominent roles were at that event. Some were protesting it. Some attended it silently. No advocate participated in the official ceremony to remove the parking lot. No organization officially participated in that process. But I think all of us wanted to be there to experience that first removal, because that was a community victory. That was not a victory of any elected official or government bureaucrat. That was a result of really close to 20 years of struggle, when you have to go back when Elizabeth Camborian, a Virginia historian, discovered the map at the Library of Virginia that showed that there was a so-called burial ground for Negroes at that site, and started the process of raising this to the community. So it's been a very long struggle to, educate the community that this burial ground existed, the significance of it, and to show that the disrespect being shown first by the private company that owned the land, and then the Virginia Commonwealth University, which is, after all, an institution of the Virginia state government, was symbolic of the disrespect that's still shown to the black community. And if this struggle could be won, it would raise the political capital of the black community and make it easier to fight for other issues.
Well, it's I still find myself sometimes a little speechless, because I want to address sort of so many things along the way, but that moment when the asphalt came off, when all of those people were there, who represented sort of different paths along the road to reclamation for this site, I think, you know, there was that moment where everybody really, for a moment, was on exactly the same page. But we know that the biggest problem, I think, along the way with the struggle was the fact that we were having, not just to educate people about the historical aspect of the site, but the relevance and the importance and potentially the newness of the idea that it was the community that should be driving the reclamation process, and that the reason that perhaps people thought that the defenders in particular would get so angry from time to time was because it was at exactly a moment when the process seemed to disappear from view, and when next the issue would be raised, it would have been wrapped up in somebody's package. And a next step would have been declared, as opposed to having incorporated the community in that process. And there are some concrete examples, one of which becomes the issue of what happened in 2008 when the furor over what was about to happen to the burial ground, at the same time that the Lumpkins jail site was being revered for what it had to offer and was being celebrated by everyone, that there was that moment when everyone felt like they could be a part of the outrage over what was not happening with the burial ground, the fact that it was going to not only not be recognized for what it was, but it was going to be repaved. And so it was like, you know, it's like we need to bury this burial ground deeper, so that nobody is going to be reminded of what is here anymore, that it can potentially serve the future as a parking lot. And it was at that moment that finally the scholarship that did exist on the burial ground was looked at with some seriousness and with some public affirmation by the Slave Trail Commission, by the Department of Historic Resources, by the city. And the confluence of elements that contributed to that moment was at both times exhilarating, because we felt like finally people were paying enough attention that something was going to happen, but also frustrating because we recognized the kind of self-interest that was driving that participation. There was a mayoral race that was just beginning, and it was a unique mayoral race because it was an at-large race for the first time, or I'm sorry, for the second time. This was the end of Wilder's reign in the first administration of the first at-large mayor dynamic since the 1970s, and there was a lot of attention on who was going to take that over, and the pool of candidates. Some of them were actually there. Mayor Jones, now Mayor Jones, was there. Bill Pantley was there. Bruce Tyler, who was a city council person, was there. There were state level officials there. All these people were there who suddenly stood up and voiced their outrage, including the former president of the. Their former president of Virginia Union University. In that moment at the Lumpkins Jail opening event, when they were launching the second phase of the archaeology, the day after the demonstration that was held to protest the repaving of the African burial ground, all of these public figures stood up and voiced their outrage. And again, we were looking at this confluence of self-interest that began to drive this process. And it's that we've had to struggle against ever since. And we sort of knew that was going to happen. Once we knew that the importance of this site would catch the imagination, we knew that it was going to then become kind of a battleground for different layers of self-interest. We knew then that the community's input was more important than ever in order to make sure that even if that is what helps drive public events, that it was going to be driven in the same way, in the direction that the community felt best. That was going to be the most important thing. So as we move forward, we are really looking at the next steps, how the community is going to be involved. And one of them is going to be the formation of the Community Organizing Committee. And we will get back to you on that in just a minute after we do our station break. And you are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us. You can listen online at WRIR.org, or you can tune in via radio at 97.3 FM. We repeat on Tuesdays, I think at 2 p.m. And if we're not sure, you can check with the station schedule, also at WRIR.org. Defenders Live is brought to you by the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, and you can learn more about us at DefendersFJE.org and DefendersFJE.blogspot.com. So, Phil, the Richmond African Burial Ground Community Organizing Committee. Tell me about that. It's one of those things that we felt was an important structural necessity to launch the start of the community committee that would move this forward.
Yeah, well, things started to pick up at the end of last summer, and for several reasons. People were outraged that VCU had, despite community protests and concerns, repaved the parking lot and so-called upgraded it, which really meant that they had no intention of giving it up. They had purchased it with full knowledge that it sat over the African burial ground, and they were just going to disrespect the concerns and of the community and move forward. September 8th, Salim Kofani, Dr. Sean Yutzi of the VCU African American Studies Department, Anna, myself, met with President Michael Rao at his office on West Franklin Street. And at that time, he told us that he shared our concerns and that he wanted VCU to get out from under this issue, which was not exactly a ringing endorsement of reclaiming the burial ground, but at least an acknowledgement that it was a problem for them. But that didn't happen until May 20th, some 8 months later, when they were finally forced to. October 10th, 2010, the defendants held its 8th annual Gabriel Forum, which we billed as a town hall meeting on the burial ground. More than 100 people came out. That was 1 week after Saad al-Amin had filed his second lawsuit trying to force VCU to close the parking lot. And from that meeting, 36 people signed up to become involved in the work of reclaiming the burial ground. And out of that group, a organizing committee was formed that has met every month, November through May, the Richmond African Burial Ground Community Organizing Committee. And that group has been attending Slave Trail Commission meetings and sponsored protests in conjunction with the Defenders and our Sacred Ground Historical Reclamation Project. And that group has committed to continuing to meet every month on the first Sunday of the month and to attend every meeting of the Slave Trail Commission meeting, which takes place on the first Thursday of the month, and to continue to try to encourage the community to stay involved in this issue. Now, one of the things that the COC did, the Community Organizing Committee, was it sponsored a vigil at the parking lot, at the VCU parking lot, on April 12th, which was the 150th anniversary of the start of the Civil War. And that morning decided to go ahead with a long-threatened action to actually physically shut down the parking lot, to say enough talk. It's time to do something. It's time to take direct action. And so eight of us, yourself included, Anna, walked down to the entrance to the VCU parking lot. There was Defenders Donnell Brantley, Maurice Robinson, Rolanda Cleopatra, Tiamba Wilkerson, Anna and myself, along with Autumn Barrett, who's a member of the Defenders Sacred Ground Historical Reclamation Project, and Paul Fleischer from the Richmond Peace Education Center. We taped off the entrances to the parking lot with some yellow tape and stood in front of it and told cars that the parking lot was closed. And for an hour and a half, that lot was shut down. VCU security called their VCU police. They started arriving. They stood across the street. They didn't know how to handle the situation, apparently. More and more of them came. Finally, there were 20 cops facing us, a wagon, two police cars, and we kept the lot closed for an hour and a half. Four of us were arrested. We went to trial on May 25th. The charges were withdrawn. There was no jail time, no fines. We won. I would have preferred to go to trial and have a clear-cut victory, but this is the way it turned out. And so there was the parking lot is closed, the asphalt is up, the ground is being memorialized, the four advocates who were arrested are clear, and the COC will be meeting, as I said, every Sunday. And now the four people who were arrested released a statement after the trial, which is being placed on the African Burial Ground Advocates Facebook page and on the Defenders webpage, and will be printed in the next issue of the Virginia Defender newspaper. But I'll just like to read it now because this is the first time it's gone out publicly. This is a statement by Rolanda, Donnell, Autumn, and myself. Wednesday, May 25, 2011, was a day of victory for us and the community. We wish to thank whatever higher power we believe in, our lawyer, Steve Benjamin, and the community for showing up at the Manchester Courthouse to support us. The courtroom was filled to capacity with supporters. It was awesome to see the room empty out when we left. We also thank those who were not able to come but were there in spirit. To Virginia Commonwealth University, we say that actions speak louder than words. A true good faith gesture would be to donate $123,000 to be used for the development of the African burial ground. This is the amount VCU is saving because of the generosity of several companies that are donating their time, energy, and equipment to remove the asphalt from the African burial ground at no cost. In addition, VCU should donate all the parking fees they collected over the past 3 years to the African burial ground. That money was to recover the cost of purchasing the land, but the cost has now been recovered by the General Assembly. To the Slave Trail Commission, we say the Richmond African Burial Ground Community Organizing Committee is ready and willing to interact with them in a positive manner. Our goals are to promote continued community input in regard to decisions affecting how the African burial ground is to be memorialized and to promote the principle that any related contracts and jobs should go first to the African American community. To the community, we say, please continue to join us in deciding how the African burial ground should be memorialized. Your input is so important. Our meetings are held on the first Sunday of each month from 4 to 6 p.m. Do come out. To receive meeting notices, please send your name, phone number, and or email address to Janet Queen Nzinga Taylor, or and that information will be posted on the website. Again, or you can just call the defenders right now. Thanks so much for supporting us. We really appreciate it. Donnell, Rolanda, Autumn, Phil.
Great. It's a very powerful statement, and I think it's a good summation of the position of the Community Organizing Committee, but also the larger dynamic that, that the community is a constituency. The public, the African-American community is a constituency, along with the people who, frankly, of the community that are on the Slave Trail Commission, that are in the city, you know, those people who have the skill sets to help move this forward as well. It's a collaborative process, and we very much look forward to that being productive, and that and when it does become contentious, that people understand that it's for the long-term good of the cause, and that the struggle has really been about the empowerment of the community. And that has to be different than the way things have been done in the past. Oftentimes we have thought that there's somebody key who needs to go somewhere and make decisions and then come back and tell us what we've done. But that's not how we see this, and that's not how it should happen moving forward. Therefore, I hope that you will stay tuned next week and in the weeks to come as we bring you more of what is concerning the community here in Richmond, the African-American, the African community here in Richmond. And I want to thank you, Phil, for joining us and giving us that very thorough rundown on what happened last week. It's been, as I said, quite a 20-year, 10-year, 7-year, 4-year struggle, and we're looking forward to the days to come.
And we just like to remind the community that no matter how big the opposition, if you organize, if you think carefully, and you work relentlessly, you can win. You can make a difference. Come out, join us, work with us. Defenders, 644-5834, 644-5834.
There you go. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Defenders Live. We look forward to talking to you next week. Remember to keep up the struggle, that kindness does matter. And thank you.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't.
See, there's nothing wrong.